This is 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. WCHL's Morning News with Ron Stutz begins now.
It's 7:07, 7 minutes after 7 o'clock, 73 degrees in Chapel Hill. Partly sunny, scattered showers and thunderstorms in the afternoon. 40% chance of rain today, tonight, tomorrow, and tomorrow night. Our high today about 90, but the high tomorrow only about 80, so it will cool down. You might see some changes in the way you vote in future elections. Some say these proposed changes are not for the better, calling it an attack on voter rights. The Senate Rules Committee passed House Bill 589 yesterday, which has been in limbo since the House approved it several months ago. Now it's back and has been revamped to include provisions that go far beyond the initial controversial voter ID proposal. WCHL's Rachel Nash has more.
The long title of the voter ID bill is about restoring confidence in elections. Unfortunately, the actions of the legislature is not doing a lot for the confidence of our elected and political leaders in North Carolina. In fact, I believe it's diminishing that confidence significantly.
Matt Hughes, chair of the Orange County Democratic Party, says the new version of this bill will impact how North Carolinians vote on multiple levels. In addition to legislation requiring specific photo identification, it proposes to shorten the 2.5-week early voting period by a week and eliminate same-day voter registration during early voting, among other provisions.
In 2008, I think that the party that benefited the most from early voting were the Democrats. However, by 2012, everyone, Democrats, Republicans, independents, doesn't matter who you poll, they're supportive of it. They're supportive of expanding early voting. Convenient, it makes voting more accessible, and it really allows people to go in and vote at their convenience.
About 57% of votes casted in last fall's election in North Carolina were done during early voting, WREL reports.
It's really convenient to be able to also go and early vote and possibly change or update your registration, or maybe register for the first time during the early vote period. And that's another thing that's removed from this bill, is you will not be able to do the same-day registration that is currently allowed under the law.
Hughes says he questions the motives behind this bill and feels that the legislature strategically waited for a ruling by the Supreme Court on the Voting Rights Act. Election law changes normally would have to be subject to authorization, but the Supreme Court's decision exempted North Carolina from federal review until a new process is created by Congress.
There's just a lot of bad ideas in this voter ID bill, which itself is just a terrible idea. And I think it really comes down to really maneuvering the electorate in a way that continues to perpetuate the status quo.
Some have criticized bringing this bill up during the final days of the legislative session, but Hughes says it's symptomatic of this General Assembly. Voting rights groups planted plastic pink flamingos in the lawn outside the legislative building Tuesday morning to remind North Carolina lawmakers that Florida reduced its early voting period in the 2012 election, cutting early voting from 14 to 8 days. According to state officials, this led to six-hour lines on the final day of early voting, and an estimated 200,000 Florida voters gave up without casting their ballots. If the Senate passes this bill, it will then have to pass in the House, where many anticipate disagreement over certain provisions. Rachel Nash, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Your local airport isn't closing, at least not yet. A provision in a previous House budget proposal suggested the closing of Horace Williams Airport on August 1st. But after the General Assembly reconciled its budget, the airport is no longer in the chopping block. After UNC Chapel Hill moved its medical aircraft from Horace Williams, the AHAC program, it has stayed open as a small public use airport. UNC has long tried to get rid of Horace Williams, especially since its Carolina North expansion is planned to take over the airport's land. The House's budget included a provision that the airport would be closed down in August of this year, but in the new version of the budget that both the House and Senate appear to agree on, there's no such provision. Horace Williams is located at the corner of Estes Drive and Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard. Reporting by the Chapel Hill News found teachers in the Chapel Hill Carborough City school system who complained that the MSL test not only had bad questions, but that the same test was given on different days over a three-week period. WCHL's Rand Northam has more.
Executive Director for Community Relations for the Chapel Hill Carborough City school system, Jeff Nash, says that issues with the measure of student learning tests are a statewide issue, not a local school system issue, and he points to the testing on different dates as a source of the problem.
If one student takes a test on Tuesday and a friend takes a test on Friday, they may very well have a discussion about what was on that test.
Nash says that this is an even more troubling possibility given the technology modern students use.
This is even bigger because students can put things up on Facebook or they can tweet out the questions, and there's just a more widespread statewide conversation going on among students.
He says CHCCS is talking with the state's Department of Public Instruction to see if it could move forward with the MSL test being held on the same day in the future.
There may have to be some changes there. That's something that we're talking about and probably every school district is taking a look at.
Nash says students who took the MSL test were not required to sign an honor pledge. Rand Northam, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Estes Drive has seen increased development lately concerning those gathered at Monday's Central West Steering Committee. This issue has been a concern for Chapel Hill parents, with surrounding roads becoming more difficult for students who bike or walk to school. One audience member spoke out about the inadequate crosswalks surrounding Elliott Road, while another pointed to the number of students who live close to the school but are driven instead of walking as a sign of how unsafe it is to walk to the schools. Chapel Hill Carborough City Schools Assistant Superintendent Todd LaFreeze says the traffic around Phillips Middle School will soon be too great for the crossing guard to handle. One crossing guard was previously hit by a car's side mirror on the surrounding roads. Long Range and Transportation Manager with the Department of Transportation, David Bonk, says part of the steering committee's actions is to see what can be done along Estes Drive to possibly hold off its metamorphosis into a purely commercial road.
Whether that should be a mix of uses that includes residential and commercial and office, or whether a single use such as residential.
LaFreeze, on the other hand, says that Estes Drive is already a commercial road.
Estes Drive and Estes Road feel as though it's part of the neighborhood, and in many ways, obviously, it is. It's a connector to all of that. But it's also, I think, an east-west corridor.
Bonk says that suggestions made in the steering committee, like more bike lanes and sidewalks, would help mitigate the number of drivers in the surrounding area.
Obviously, students age out of their walk, and new students come into the neighborhood. To the degree that we can formalize some of those paths and make them wider known, it'll help encourage more kids to use those.
Bonk says that suggestions made in the steering committee would help mitigate the number of drivers, but LaFree says any plan to make it safer for students to walk to the surrounding schools must include multiple ideas. He also points out that some of the problems are structural within the older schools in the area.
They do not have the same amount of kiss-and-go, parent drop-off space, and bus queue space as our newer schools have.
The next Central West Steering Committee meeting is July 30th at the Chapel Hill Public Library at 6 p.m. Legislation heading to the governor's desk allows North Carolina charter schools to follow the lead of local traditional schools on criminal history checks for employees. A negotiated final version of the bill passed the House and Senate on Tuesday. The measure creates more rules to govern a growing number of public charter schools, but drops plans to create a separate panel to oversee them. The legislation would essentially retain an advisory commission already in place to make recommendations to the State Board of Education. The proposal retains the current requirement that at least half the teachers at charter schools meet state certification requirements. Earlier versions of the bill would have allowed charter school directors to decide whether to check job applicants for any criminal history. North Carolina lawmakers have approved a bill greatly expanding where concealed handguns are legally allowed. The Republican-backed bill, approved by both the House and Senate yesterday, allows concealed carry permit holders to take firearms into bars and restaurants and other places where alcohol is served, as long as the owner does not expressly forbid it. The measure will also allow concealed carry permit holders to store weapons in locked cars on the campus of any public school or university. Guns will also now be allowed on greenways, playgrounds, and other public recreation areas. The final bill dropped a controversial provision that would have repealed the longstanding law requiring a background check and permit issued by county sheriffs for handgun purchases. The measure now heads to Republican Governor Pat McCrory's desk. North Carolina lawmakers are honing rules that would govern underground natural gas drilling, fracking, and encourage offshore oil drilling. The Senate gave final approval yesterday to legislation intended to spur the state's energy. It now goes off to the governor. The measure removes an earlier idea to begin issuing permits in March of 2015 for underground gas drilling using a method called hydraulic fracturing or fracking. The existing law directs state agencies to craft rules for oil and gas exploration by October of 2014 and requires the legislature to act before issuing any permits. The legislation also directs McCrory to negotiate an offshore energy alliance with the governors of South Carolina and Virginia. Republican Representative Mike Stone of Sanford says lawmakers want to tell the energy industry that North Carolina welcomes drilling. WCHL News Time, 717, 17 minutes after 7 o'clock. Time now for traffic and weather together. Traffic brought to you by Southern Season. Visit today and experience all things delicious in one amazing destination. Shop their world-class wine selection, expansive assortment of artisan candies, exquisite housewares, and famous gift baskets for every occasion at University Mall in Chapel Hill or online at southernseason.com. Now with traffic, here's Rand Northam.
Thank you very much, Ron. Traffic still moving smoothly this morning. I-40, 15501, NC-54, and the Durham Freeway not reporting any accidents or delays at this time. If you see anything as you travel throughout the rest of the day, be sure to give us a call, and you can be a WCHL Road Warrior. 919-967-8363 is the number to call, or you can tweet us at WCHL. As always, we ask that you do that safely.
WCHL's Chapel Hill Carborough Weather, presented by the Carolina Inn. Join them at the Carolina Crossroads Restaurant and Bar each and every day for their exceptional daily features, menu specials, and hours at CarolinaInn.com. And don't forget, Friday's on the front porch, Friday starting at 5 p.m. 73 degrees. Partly sunny, scattered showers and thunderstorms predictable in the afternoon. 40% chance of rain today, tonight, tomorrow, and tomorrow night. Our high today about 90, another muggy day. Tonight, low about 68. Tomorrow, not as hot. High tomorrow, only about 80 degrees. So a definite cooling trend coming for our weather. 718, 18 minutes after 7 o'clock, WCHL. In Carborough, one of the five candidates for Board of Aldermen says the biggest challenge that Carborough faces is a lack of development to diversify the tax base. WCHL's Aaron Keck reports.
One of the issues is that the town has a tax base which is based on mostly residential.
That's Al Vickers, who's running for one of three open seats this year on the Board of Aldermen. He's up against one other newcomer, Kurt Stolka, and all three incumbents, Randy Haven O'Donnell, Jacqueline Gist, and Sammy Slade. Vickers says the lack of development to the tax base leads to jobs and residents going to other parts of the state. In fact, he says his own friends have left for those reasons.
Once their kids get out of the Capital County school system, they just leave. They go to Chatham, other places.
Vickers is a former member of the Solid Waste Advisory Board. He has a Ph.D. in environmental science.
And I felt I could add something to the board perspective on my background in industry and universities in the past.
As the Orange County landfill is closing down, Vickers says the best way forward with solid waste is to have Carborough, Chapel Hill, and Hillsborough all work together on one single solution. But while saying that Orange County has some of the best solid waste management in the state, Vickers also says it doesn't seem likely that the county will ever have a landfill again.
It's clear from the Solid Waste Advisory Committee, the politics of the area will not allow a waste management unit to be located in the county of Orange.
For a complete list of candidates in all the races in Orange County this year, you can view this story on our website, chapelborough.com. Election Day itself is Tuesday, November 5th. Aaron Keck, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
News around town this morning, 29 high school graduates, including one from Chapel Hill, received Robertson scholarships as they head to Carolina and Duke in the fall. Arjun Raghavan is a graduate of Chapel Hill High School and is one of three people from North Carolina to get the scholarship who's going to Carolina. Two in-state recipients will be Robertson scholars at Duke. Scholarship recipients span 12 states and six countries. Scholarship winners receive funding for tuition, room and board, and 3 summers of international or domestic experiences. Robertson scholars attend one university but have full access to both Duke and UNC. The program is guided towards students recognizing their potential for strong leadership. To see the entire list of Robertson recipients, you can view this news around town story on our website, chapelborough.com. WCHL News Time, 7:21, 21 minutes after 7 o'clock. Time now for WCHL Championship Sports, brought to you by Cruisers Convenience Marketplace. I'm Ron Stutz. Head football coach Larry Fedora says he's looking to continue changing the culture in his second year as head coach at Carolina.
Yeah, it's very different, from last year to this year. And, you know, a lot of things are different. You know, that's all behind us. And I know our kids, or our kids know us. There's just a much more comfortable feeling going into year two.
On Monday, Coach Fedora talked with the media at the ACC football kickoff in Greensboro, discussing addressing, among other things, the building process, replacing running back Giovanni Bernard, and the keys to this team's success this season. Coach Fedora says increasing familiarity brings him comfort with his players in his second year.
It is so much more comfortable when a kid walks down the hallway of the facility and you know his name. I mean, you know, and you really know his name. Not only do you know his name, you know what he's made up of inside of him. And that's a big part of it. You know, you've been with him through a year. You have pushed him. Who's going to spit the bit out? Who's not? Who's going to be there in the fourth quarter? You know, who's going to fight, scratch, and claw for you? You know all those things about a kid.
Not surprisingly, Coach Fedora was asked how the Tar Heels would go about replacing a player like Gio Bernard.
Yeah, we're definitely not, you know, we don't have a guy that's going to replace Gio, you know, because nobody's as short as Gio was. So all of them are taller than him. But we've got some depth there, some quality depth.
A little humor there on behalf of the coach. In Fedora's high-energy, up-tempo offense, much of the onus ultimately falls on the quarterback's ability to make big throws in crucial moments and just to make good decisions. Coach Fedora says he's confident in the ability of his senior quarterback, Bren Renner.
But the biggest thing that he understands is that he's got to take care of the football. He knows that if we don't turn the ball over, we got a chance to win each and every game that we play.
The upcoming rivalry game against South Carolina on August 28th has Tar Heel Nation all fired up. Coach Fedora says he's relishing the opportunity this game presents for the UNC program.
And so, you know, it's a chance for us to showcase our program and show where we are in year two in this building process, in this process of changing the culture at Carolina. You know, so everybody's going to have the opportunity to see that.
Even if the Tar Heel offense remains prolific, Coach Fedora points out the importance of a solid defense and getting pressure on the opposing team's quarterback.
But you know, it doesn't matter how good you're in the secondary. If you don't get pressure on a quarterback, they'll pick you apart nowadays. Everybody knows how to throw the football. And so we've got to get pressure. If you can't get it with four, you got to get it with five. I mean, and if you can't get it with five and you got to get it with six, it's going to be a big play. Somebody's band's going to play a bunch.
Coach Fedora emphasizes his team's need of a singular focus, game by game and even play by play.
I'm a very strong believer in just, you know, just worrying about one game and then really breaking it down beyond that and just worrying about one play. I mean, if you can learn how to focus on just being the best you can be on this play and nothing else, you know, you look up and all of a sudden, wow, you made, you know, a good play. And then you focus, you do the same thing again, and over time you look up and, wow, we played a great game.
If you'd like to hear all the comments from Coach Fedora at the ACC football kickoff in Greensboro, check out the story on our website, chapelboro.com. That's a quick look at WCHL Championship Sports. I'm Rod Stutz.
Art Chansky Sports Notebook, exclusively on 97.9 FM WCHL.
For those of you who thought J.J. Redick was creepy at Duke, wait till you hear the latest. This is Art Chansky with Wednesday Sports Notebook. Like Danny Ferrier, Christian Laettner, and Greg Paulus before him, J.J. Redick was one of those Dukies we love to hate. No matter how many points he scored and how we feared the sight of him spotting up at the three-point line, and even after Tyler Hansbrough ruined his senior game at Cameron and Redick personally shot Duke out of the 2006 NCAA tournament, we were still glad to see him go. Gone, but apparently not forgotten, especially with the story that broke Tuesday about the weirdest legal agreement that may ever have been written. This happened a few years ago when Redick was a rookie for the Milwaukee Bucks, and his hot model girlfriend Vanessa Lopez informed him that she was pregnant. According to the legal records uncovered by the muckrakers at the website Media Takeout, there was no acknowledgement of who was the father of Lopez's unborn child. Basically, as the MTO story reported, Lopez agreed to have a legal abortion on the condition that Redick agree to maintain a relationship with her for at least 1 year. So the couple signed on the dotted line. Lopez would have an abortion and Redick would pay for it. And afterward, they would continue as friends or dating partners for one full year, presumably to find out whether they still cared enough about each other that someday they might marry and Lopez might get pregnant again. I'm serious. If you don't believe me, Google J.J. Redick's abortion agreement. And let me make it clear, with all the heartache this state is currently going through regarding legalized abortion, I'm not making fun of anything except that J.J. Redick is involved in the weirdest story ever. Oops, I already said that. Anyway, after the pregnancy was terminated and they continued their relationship for the following year, Redick could get out of it by paying Lopez $25,000. Lopez could get out of it by simply signing something that said she no longer wanted the pretty boy baller in her life. And there was one more part to the weirdest story ever about J.J. Redick. If after all this came to pass, and either Redick or Lopez ended the relationship, any contact from one to the other would be considered legalized stalking. The relationship ended and nothing has happened since. But stay tuned. Reddick just signed with the Clippers and Lopez lives in L.A. This is Our Chance, Steve. See ya.
This is Lyda Coleman of Coleman, Huntoon & Brown, your local CPAs and advisors. Did you know that there are more than 1,000 nonprofits in Orange County, and they need help with accounting and tax services like any other business? We can help with obtaining tax-exempt status, setting up your accounting systems, preparing tax returns, and being there to hold your hand if the IRS comes knocking.
To find out more, talk to Coleman, Huntoon & Brown, where our people make the difference. Find us online at chbcpas.com.
If you're looking for the kind of primary care you deserve, join the all-new Duke Integrative Primary Care Practice. For a modest annual fee, you will have expert physicians who give you all the time you need to discuss all the health concerns you have, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. To learn more or attend a free information session, visit DukeIntegrativeMedicine.org. Duke Integrative Primary Care, transforming your health and your life. Only minutes from Chapel Hill, open to all and now accepting insurance.
Betty Davis famously said, getting old is not for sissies. What she didn't say is that dealing with aging loved ones is no easy task either. HomeWatch Caregivers gives you the support you need for your loved ones. From simple companionship to comprehensive personal care, its trained staff gives you peace of mind. You can relax knowing your family member is well taken care of. HomeWatchCaregivers.com or call 919-960-6038. HomeWatch Caregivers, let our family care for yours.
Orthopedic injuries can make even the smallest movements difficult. That's why UNC Orthopedics has made it even easier to get the care you need. Many of our services are located in a convenient facility on Highway 54 in Chapel Hill. The same exceptional care is available in sports medicine, total joints, bone health, orthopedic prompt care, and our fragility fracture program. For information, visit uncortho.org.
Are you looking for new customers? Try Our Local Deal, brought to you by WCHL and the Chapel Hill Carrboro Chamber of Commerce. You offer a deal to the community from your business, and folks purchase it. Everybody loves a deal. With Our Local Deal, your company or organization is featured on 97.9 FM WCHL, on the site at OurLocalDeal.com, and through social media. Want to try the best marketing deal in town? Visit OurLocalDeal.com or call us at 919-933-4165.
It's just as important as a good cup of coffee. Start your day with the only radio station that brings you local news about local people right here in our local community. This is 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carrboro's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. Now, once again, here's Ron Stutz.
Good morning. It is 729, 29 minutes after 7 o'clock at WCHL. And time for your Chapel Hill Carrboro weather, brought to you by Five Guys Burgers and Fries. Nothing beats Five Guys hand-formed patties of fresh ground beef piled high with any or all of 15 free toppings, plus their fresh-cut Idaho fries. Five Guys Village in Chapel Hill. 73 degrees in Chapel Hill, 72 in Carrboro, also 72 in Hillsborough this morning. Partly sunny, scattered showers and thunderstorms predicted for the afternoon. At least a 40% chance of it. Our high today about 90 degrees. That 40% chance of rain is going to be with us for a while. It not only goes for today, but also tonight, tomorrow, and tomorrow night. Our low tonight in the upper 60s. Tomorrow, cloudy with the chance of rain. And then partly sunny in the afternoon. Not as warm, though. High tomorrow, only about 80 degrees. So not as hot and muggy tomorrow as today. And then tomorrow night, our low in the low 60s. And looking ahead, we have more local news coming up in just a few moments. We'll talk about the voter ID bill, likely to go into effect very soon. The North Carolina legislature will be talking about that later today.
97.9 FM WCHL is Chapel Hill Carrboro's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. And streaming live 24/7 at chapelboro.com. There's an app for that.
CBS News Update. I'm Dave Barrett. Domestic spying, should we put a leash on that? The CBS's Jill Jackson explains that's the sentiment among some on Capitol Hill.
A bipartisan group of members wants to limit the NSA's spying powers with an amendment to stop the government's collection of all phone records and just allow the program to continue for individuals under investigation. Members think the NSA has taken its powers granted under the Patriot Act too far and are now trying to reverse course.
That vote could take place today. Massachusetts Democrat Congressman Jim McGovern.
People in my district, like people in your district, are shocked
And it's not just Democrats, it's Republicans, it's not just liberals, it's conservatives.
Maryland Representative Democrat Dutch Ruppersberger says some kind of balance has to be found in weighing privacy rights and national security.
What we're doing in the metadata program is finding a needle in a haystack. And you need the haystack in order to find the needle. But we have to make sure that we protect our constitutional rights.
CBS News Update, I'm Dave Barrett.
This hour of the Morning News with Ron Stutz is brought to you by Bredman's Restaurant. Open at 7 a.m. daily and serving breakfast all day. Bredman's on Rosemary Street, a Chapel Hill tradition since 1974.
You might see some changes in the way you vote in future elections. Some say these proposed changes are not for the better, calling it an attack on voter rights. The Senate Rules Committee passed House Bill 589 on Tuesday, which has been in limbo since the House approved it several months ago. Now it's back and has been revamped to include provisions that go far beyond the initial controversial voter IDs proposal. WCHL's Rachel Nash has more.
The long title of the voter ID bill is about restoring confidence in elections. Unfortunately, the actions of the legislature is not doing a lot for the confidence of our elected and political leaders in North Carolina. In fact, I believe it's diminishing that confidence significantly.
Matt Hughes, chair of the Orange County Democratic Party, says the new version of this bill will impact how North Carolinians vote on multiple levels. In addition to legislation requiring specific photo identification, it proposes to shorten the 2.5-week early voting period by a week and eliminate same-day voter registration during early voting, among other provisions.
In 2008, I think that the party that benefited the most from early voting were the Democrats. However, by 2012, everyone, Democrats, Republicans, independents, doesn't matter who you poll, they're supportive of it, they're supportive of expanding early voting. Convenient, it makes voting more accessible, and it really allows people to go in and vote at their convenience.
About 57% of votes casted in last fall's election in North Carolina were done during early voting, WREL reports.
It's really convenient to be able to also go and early vote and possibly change or update your registration or maybe register for the first time during the early vote period. And that's another thing that's removed from this bill, is you will not be able to do the same-day registration that is currently allowed under the law.
Hughes says he questions the motives behind this bill and feels that the legislature strategically waited for a ruling by the Supreme Court on the Voting Rights Act. Election law changes normally would have to be subject to authorization, but the Supreme Court's decision exempted North Carolina from federal review until a new process is created by Congress.
There's just a lot of bad ideas in this voter ID bill, which itself is just a terrible idea. And I think it really comes down to really maneuvering the electorate in a way that continues to perpetuate the status quo.
Some have criticized bringing this bill up during the final days of the legislative session, but Hughes says it's symptomatic of this General Assembly. Voting rights groups planted plastic pink flamingos in the lawn outside the legislative building Tuesday morning to remind North Carolina lawmakers that Florida reduced its early voting period in the 2012 election, cutting early voting from 14 to 8 days. According to state officials, this led to six-hour lines on the final day of early voting, and an estimated 200,000 Florida voters gave up without casting their ballots. If the Senate passes this bill, it will then have to pass in the House, where many anticipate disagreement over certain provisions. Rachel Nash, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Your local airport isn't closing, at least not yet. Horace Williams Airport is not going to close in spite of the media attention that was given to an item that was inserted as a rider in the budget bill that called for it to close on August 1st. The consensus in the legislature is that the item was placed in the House budget bill as a bargaining chip with Senate Rule Chairman Tom Apodaca, who has a reputation as a strong defender of the UNC Airport. There's currently no scheduled date for the closure of the airport. UNC plans to close it to make room for Carolina North, whose start has been delayed because of a lack of funding. Reporting by the Chapel Hill News found teachers in the Chapel Hill Carborough City school system who complained that the MSL test not only has bad questions, but that the same test was given on different days over a three-week period. WCHL's Rand Northam has the story.
Executive Director for Community Relations for the Chapel Hill Carborough City school system, Jeff Nash, says that issues with the measure of student learning tests are a statewide issue, not a local school system issue, And he points to the testing on different dates as a source of the problem.
If one student takes the test on Tuesday and a friend takes the test on Friday, they may very well have a discussion about what was on that test.
Nash says that this is an even more troubling possibility given the technology modern students use.
This is even bigger because students can put things up on Facebook or they can tweet out the questions, and there's just a more widespread statewide conversation going on among students.
He says CHCCS is talking with the state's Department of Public Instruction to see if it could move forward with the MSL test being held on the same day in the future.
There may have to be some changes there. That's something that we're talking about, and probably every school district is taking a look at.
Nash says students who took the MSL test were not required to sign an honor pledge. Rand Northam, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Legislation heading to the governor's desk today allows North Carolina charter schools to follow the lead of local traditional schools on criminal history checks for employees. A negotiated final version of the bill passed the House and Senate on Tuesday. The measure creates more rules to govern a growing number of public charter schools, but drops plans to create a separate panel to oversee them. The legislation would essentially retain an advisory commission already in place to make recommendations to the State Board of Education. The proposal retains the current requirement that at least half the teachers at charter schools meet state certification requirements. Earlier versions of the bill would have allowed charter school directors to decide whether to check job applicants for any criminal history. In other legislative news, North Carolina lawmakers have approved a bill greatly expanding where concealed handguns are legally allowed. The Republican-backed bill, approved by both the House and Senate yesterday, allows concealed carry permit holders to take firearms into bars and restaurants and other places where alcohol is served, as long as the owner doesn't expressly forbid it. The measure will also allow concealed carry permit holders to store weapons in locked cars on the campus of any public school or university. Guns will also now be allowed on greenways, playgrounds, and other public recreation areas. The final bill dropped a controversial provision that would have repealed the longstanding law requiring a background check and permit issued by county sheriffs for handgun purchases. The measure now heads to Republican Governor Pat McCrory's desk. And North Carolina lawmakers are honing rules that would govern underground natural gas drilling and encourage offshore oil drilling. The Senate gave final approval on Tuesday to legislation intended to spur the state's energy. It now goes to the governor. The measure removes an earlier idea to begin issuing permits in March of 2015 for underground gas drilling using a method called hydraulic fracturing or fracking. The existing law directs state agencies to craft rules for oil and gas exploration by October 2014 and requires the legislature to act before issuing any permits. The legislation also directs McCrory to negotiate an offshore energy alliance with the governors of South Carolina and Virginia. Republican Representative Mike Stone of Sanford says lawmakers want to tell the energy industry that North Carolina welcomes drilling. WCHL News Time, 7:39. 21 minutes until 8 o'clock at WCHL. Rand Northam joins me now out of the newsroom, and he's here to talk about what's happening at our website, chapelboro.com.
Well, Gretchen Levine of Down Home Arts has a new column up from the Frank Gallery's recent and current show, Animals, Forces of Nature. She has some great pictures and a really deep, educated look at the pieces. That's available in the lifestyle section of our website, chapelboro.com. You should follow Chapelboro on Twitter, at Chapelboro, and Gretchen on Twitter as well. She's at Down Home Arts. And all of Chapelboro's columnists, if you want to stay up to date on the cool stuff going on around town, even if you don't tweet, Ron, I know that you're not a tweeter, you can still follow all the headlines around Chapelboro on Twitter the moment they happen, and also follow WCHL. It's quite easy, at WCHL. Ron, we'll teach you how to tweet one of these days.
If I don't tweet, does that make me a bad person?
In the slightest.
I can only handle so much. Come on.
You are a Facebook fanatic, so we will leave it at that. How about that?
I just haven't felt the need to get into that yet.
You know what?
But it's fine for the people who want to do
that's
it.
Right.
That's right.
Cool. That's right. Leave it to those tweeters.
Yeah, I'm a little slow
that
coming
like
on.
Like a song title, or that it could be one. Leave it to the tweeters.
Yeah, it could be.
All right, one.
Leave it to tweeters was an old TV show. You remember that?
Leave it to Beaver?
Yeah. No, leave it to tweeters. Could have been, anyway.
Yeah. All right, well, there's a new commentary up from Matt Hughes as well on Pat McCrory and the new budget. Lots of conversation going on about that. That's in our lifestyle section as well. And there's a new gallery up in our Scene Around Town galleries from the Chapel Hill Farmers Market. So lots going on our website, and you can find all of that and much more by visiting chapelboro.com with instantly live streaming on a brand new app for that.
And very soon there will be a new commentary up on chapelboro.com from Professor Lou Margolis talking more about UNC and the NCAA. And you can hear it on the radio in just a couple of minutes.
Excellent.
It's 7:41, 19 minutes until 8 o'clock at WCHL.
This is Mark Brown of Coleman, Huntoon & Brown, your local CPA and advisors. Running a business requires wearing a lot of hats. We can help you plan and run your business effectively, from buying a business to the legal and tax structure to setting up efficient accounting processes. We help guide you through any and all questions so you can concentrate on what matters most, your business.
To find out more, talk to Coleman, Huntoon & Brown, where our people make the difference. Find us online at chbcpas.com.
I'm going to ask you a question, and I want you to think about it. Is there anything better than a lobster dinner? Fresh, tender, succulent lobster? For lobster lovers everywhere, the answer is obvious. No. Now imagine your delicious, fresh Maine lobster served with a side of perfectly whipped mashed potatoes and the world's best hush puppies. You deserve a lobster. And here's the good news. Your lobster dinner is waiting for you at Squid's tonight.
Squid's Restaurant and Oyster Bar. And don't forget, lobsters are on special every Monday night.
Here's what a typical service department sounds like on Sundays. But not at Crown Honda of South Point. We're open 11 to 5 on Sundays. No one else does that. No more early morning drop-offs or rushing after work with the kids. We work around your schedule. And you can always count on Crown Honda of South Point for the best deal. Like zero down and just $199 a month on a 2013 Honda Accord LX. For service beyond the sale, Crown Honda of South Point. Now with service on Sundays.
I'm Edward Holmes, president of Cruisers Convenience Marketplace. Convenience store coffee is known for being convenient, but at Cruisers it also tastes great. Our Beans Cafe coffees are made from fresh brewed Arabica beans. Choose from light or dark roast and flavored coffees to suit your taste. We're sure you'll love our coffee, we guarantee it. If you're not happy, simply let us know and we'll give you your money back and brew you a fresh cup. Fresh, fast, and great tasting coffee, guaranteed only at Cruisers.
Cruisers, good to go.
Hi, I'm Charlie Quayle with Chimneys Plus. What's one of the worst energy loss culprits in your home? The fireplace. That's why more and more homeowners are making the change from the old drafty fireplaces of the past to a modern 21st century fireplace. Let Chimneys Plus show you why energy-conscious homeowners are discovering high-efficiency Lennox gas and wood-burning fireplaces. Find us on the web at chimneysplusgutters.com. That's chimneysplusgutters.com.
Hello there. This is Wayne Pond. You are listening to the WCHL Morning News. Congratulations to Ron Stutz, the North Carolina Association of Broadcasters Personality of the Year. Ron Boy, good for you.
All right. Wayne Pond has today's word coming up in just a few minutes here. 7:44, 16 minutes until 8 o'clock. WCHL, 73 degrees in Chapel Hill, 72 in Carrboro, and starting tomorrow, it won't be as muggy.
And now, WCHL presents the commentators.
This is Lou Margolis. Two torches stand guard next to the shield of UNC, emblazoned with Lux et Libertas, light and liberty. It is as if the two torches are shining as bright a light as possible on the term Lux, a metaphor for the search for truth that is the heart of a great university. As we sadly know, UNC seems to need more than two torches in the search for truth about the scandals arising from the Department of Athletics. The latest revelation is that efforts seem to have been made, or at least there was serious concern that efforts would be made, to alter a report in preparation last summer by a subcommittee of the Faculty Executive Committee to investigate fake courses and other irregularities linked to the eligibility of athletes. Although probably not at all the intent of those who sought to change the draft report, the apparent reasoning behind these efforts is a straightforward indictment of the NCAA's harm to the mission of UNC. The quote from one of the emails is, "The worry is that this could further raise NCAA issues, and that is not the intention," unquote. Let's explore the reasoning. On the one hand, let's assume that the NCAA is a clumsy, Byzantine, bureaucratic nightmare with hopelessly complex rules and regulations that probably make agents from the Internal Revenue Service blush. Recognizing this, UNC, or any rational actor, would make great efforts to avoid raising NCAA issues, to use the phrase from the email. On the other hand, let's assume that the NCAA is the consummate Lady Justice, securely blindfolded and holding the most perfectly balanced scales. If contacts by the athletics department were indeed responsible for the dubious enrollments, that is, if UNC had violated rules, then, unfortunately, there could well be motivations to avoid raising NCAA issues. Either the NCAA is so bad that it's worth any effort to avoid its attention, or the NCAA is so good that it's worth any effort to avoid its attention. When asked why his football teams rarely threw passes, Woody Hayes, the legendary and disgraced coach of the Ohio State Buckeyes, used to say that three things can happen with a forward pass, and two of them are bad. It seems that when it comes to the NCAA, two things can happen, and both undermine the missions of universities. So what is the purpose of the NCAA? Why does UNC belong? This is Lou Margolis.
Is there a local issue you care about? You're invited and encouraged to contribute your own views on this or any other issue. The Commentators, local people, local issues, on 97.9 FM, WCHL. What You're Saying on the Street, presented by ISIS IT. What You're Saying on the Street.
I'm Michael Pappage. In the PJ Harrison case, charges were recently dropped against the UNC player for possession of marijuana. We hit the streets to find out if you think UNC should still punish Harrison.
My name is Ricky Devon Cleaver, live in Chapel Hill. Got to treat everybody fairly. The judicial system is kind of shady on a little scale balance and justice system, but it's all right.
Rose Hetzel, Hillsboro. I'm sure that the coach will make the proper decision as to this. He's been found innocent, so he needs to go ahead and play.
Kim Park in Chapel Hill. I think that if he was found with those things on his person, that yes, he needs to be treated just like anybody else and not given any preferential treatment.
I'm MJ, and I'm in Chapel Hill. I think they should do an in-house investigation.
Do you think UNC should still punish PJ Harrison after his charges were dropped?
Brett Phillips, Chapel Hill. I would say he would need to be punished just because it brings a bad light to the university and it says that athletes are not held to as high of a standard as maybe me or any other non-basketball or non-athlete at the university.
Kevin Perry, Chapel Hill. No, I mean, they already dropped the charges. It should be over with. And plus, I'm a big fan of PJ. I like him a lot.
Margaret DePrater, and I live in Chatham County. I think that's going to have to be decided by the athletic department. They're going to have to look at all the facts and look at the criminal justice system.
Piper Honigman in Carrboro? No, I think that's all right. I guess someone knows more about the case than I do. I don't really know much about it.
That's What You're Saying on the Street. On 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carrboro's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. What You're Saying on the Street, presented by ISIS IT. Managed IT solutions to fit your needs. Find out how they can save you money at igotfixed.com.
Hi, Tar Heel fans. Jones Angel here to tell you about Corporate Investors Mortgage Group. If you're looking for a winning team to help you purchase the home of your dreams or simply refinance, make sure you call Robbie Oaks and Corporate Investors Mortgage Group. I know I'm glad I did. Corporate Investors Mortgage Group is the only locally owned mortgage bank located right here in Chapel Hill. Robbie Oaks and Corporate Investors Mortgage Group. They're here to help you every step of the way.
I'm Mike Benson, Chapel High School Class of 85 and owner of the Southern Rail and the station. Enjoy a sunset in the beer garden and then catch a band playing in the original station featuring one of the oldest bars in the Triangle and with no cover charge for bands or DJs. And just open is our brasserie and coffee shop in the front of the station called the Tiger Room. Now serving from 7 a.m. till 2 a.m. with sandwiches, fair trade coffee, and Miss Sophia's homemade empanadas. Come on by and watch the Heels play on the big screen. I'll see you there.
Have you given up on organized religion? What if you found a church that was fun, energetic, encouraging, diverse, and actually made a difference in the world? This is Kenneth Fenner, pastor of Grace Church of Chapel Hill, and I want to invite you to try a new kind of church. We believe in truth, but practice grace. We're into Jesus and social justice. We are young and old, married and single. We are white, black, Hispanic, and Asian. We are Democrats, Republicans, and Independents. And we have a blast doing life together. Check us out. It may be the best hour of your week. Grace Church, online at gracelife.com.
Listen at home or while you work with live streaming on chapelboro.com. 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carrboro's news, talk, and Tar Heel station.
WCHL's Chapel Hill Carrboro weather coming up next. First, the traffic brought to you by Glass Half Full. The friendly, optimistic restaurant, wine bar, and wine shop right in the heart of downtown Carrboro. Good food, fine wine, and lots of fun, too. Online at glasshalffullcarrboro.com. Now with your morning traffic, here is Rand Northam.
Thank you very much, Ron. Still no traffic problems out there right now. I-40, 15501, NC-54, and the Durham Freeway. Not reporting any accidents or delays at this time. If you see anything as you travel throughout the rest of the day, be sure to give us a call. You can be a WCHL Road Warrior. 919-967-8363 is the number to call. You can also tweet us at WCHL. As always, we ask you to do that safely, and a good start to the day out on the roadways today, Ron.
Yes, it is. I like it. WCHL's Chapel Hill Carrboro Weather, presented by the Carolina Inn. Join the Carolina Crossroads Restaurant and Bar on Friday afternoons at 5 o'clock for Fridays on the Front Porch. Also, you can join the Carolina Crossroads Restaurant and Bar each and every day for their exceptional daily features, menu specials, and hours at CarolinaInn.com. 73 degrees in Chapel Hill, 72 in Carrboro, also 72 in Hillsboro. Partly sunny today, 40% chance of rain today, tonight, tomorrow, and tomorrow night. Hot and muggy again today. High today about 90 degrees, low tonight about 68. And then tomorrow, not nearly as warm with a high of only 80 degrees. So a veritable chill is on the air, or will be soon. 7:52, 8 minutes until 8 o'clock at WCHL. Ladies and gentlemen, it's always chilly on the top of Wayne Pond's head. Wayne is here with the word of the day on WCHL.
A veritable chill.
Yes, veritable.
What, have you moved to working in television now, Ron? Is that it?
Yes, yes. I have the perfect face for radio, and so I decided to issue myself a challenge.
All right, well, you were talking about hot and muggy, and well, that'll do to a person. So here's a word that kind of sort of fits into that category. The word of the day is inanition. Inanition, I-N-A-N-I-T-I-O-N. Has a sort of rhyme to it, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
We'll pull them all inside a word there. I-N-A-N-I-T-I-O-N. Inanition is, let's see, what part of speech is that? I think it's a noun.
It would be a noun, I guess.
There you go. All right, well, number one definition of inanition, keep up the rhythmission here. An exhausted condition that results from lack of food and water. That's inanition.
Mm.
And then the secondary definition, which is also applicable to, oh, I was thinking of all our nutty friends over in Raleigh, the absence or loss of social, moral, or intellectual vitality.
There you go.
There you go. Hey, listen, let's hear it for the North Carolina legislature, shall we? All right. But back to spellings and definitions. I-N-A-N-I-T-I-O-N. Inanition. And the first definition is exhaustion.
Yeah.
And then say what you want, Ron. Go ahead. Get it off your chest. Talk about the legislature.
I don't think I need to say anything.
Yeah, they don't speak for themselves, right?
They don't speak for me, I can tell you that.
Yeah, I'm glad to hear it, pal. All right, well, listen, I'll be seeing you soon. And be a good boy.
All right, buddy.
Take care, bye-bye.
Thanks very much. Wayne Pond's Word of the Day on WCHL, brought to you by Franklin Street Realty. Why would you call anyone else? Sometime next hour, you'll have an opportunity to call in and tell me the word of the day, spell it, define it, if you could do all that. We'll give you a $10 gift card to Cruisers. 7:54, 6 minutes until 8 o'clock. All right, 97.9 FM, WCHL, Strong Stutz. Clean joke of the daytime.
Good morning.
Here's Lauren Stafford.
How are you?
Yeah, you look awfully nice and chipper this morning.
Thank you very much. I try.
Happy?
I try.
Why are you so happy?
Because I get to see your smiling face every morning.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure that's it.
That's the reason.
I'm sure that's it.
Or that's what I tell myself anyway.
Yeah, well, hey.
So today I have a joke that my dad sent me.
Oh, good. All the way from South Africa.
That's right, all the way from South Africa. He doesn't have very many clean jokes, but every now and then he finds a clean one that he can pass my way. So I guess this one was screened and approved.
Well, this came from halfway around the world, folks. This ought to be good.
So you know you got to be good, exactly.
Yeah,
all right.
Really, pressure's
hopefully
on.
Hopefully it's not a tired joke after traveling that far.
Yeah, really.
All right. As a trucker stops for a red light, a woman catches up. She jumps out of her car, runs up to his truck, and knocks on the door. The trucker lowers the window, and she says to him, "Hi, my name is Heather, and you're losing some of your load." The trucker ignores her and proceeds down the street. When the truck stops for another red light, the girl catches up again. She jumps out of her car, runs up, and knocks on the door. And again, the trucker lowers the window. And as if they've never spoken, she says brightly, "Hi, my name's Heather, and did you know you're losing some of your load?" Shaking his head, the trucker ignores her again and continues down the street. A third red light, and the same thing happens again. All out of breath, the girl gets out of her car, runs up, knocks on the truck door. He rolls down the window, and she says, "Hi, my name is Heather, and you're losing some of your load." When the light turns green, the trucker revs up, and he races to the next light. When he stops this time, he hurriedly gets out of his truck and runs back to the woman.
Uh-huh.
He knocks on her window, and after she lowers it, he says, "Hi, my name is Mark. It's winter in Indiana, and I'm driving the salt truck."
All right. Hey, that's good.
That's a pretty good joke, especially since we don't get much snow, so I'm not sure where my dad found that joke.
But. Yeah, tell your dad to send more.
I will. Let him know.
That's really good.
All right.
Hey, listen, have a great day.
Thanks, Ron. You too.
This is Gerald Remoyne, General Manager of Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill. We're proud of the performance promise, and we're proud of our community, too. That's why Performance Auto Mall highlights the great community service demonstrated by today's Village Pride Award honoree.
Allison DeMarco is a postdoctoral fellow at Frank Porter Graham Child Development Institute at UNC. She got in touch with WCHL because she wanted to nominate Maggie West as today's hometown hero.
Well, I think Maggie is really special because of an organization that she helped start at UNC. And that organization is the Community Empowerment Fund, and it's one of the projects at the Center for Social Justice, the Campus Y at UNC. When I met Maggie working on Project Homeless Connect, I was really impressed with her dedication to working on poverty issues in our community, and then very excited to learn about this organization that makes microloans, so it's a domestic microfinance program. I had heard a lot about some of these in other countries doing neat things, helping struggling entrepreneurs who had disadvantaged circumstances, and was really excited to hear this was going on right here on our campus and in our community.
There's quite a lot of outreach that goes on with Maggie West and her amazing team. And in short, her work is inspiring.
They are working to target individuals in our community who are homeless or at risk of homelessness. They did outreach at Project Homeless Connect, but they also do it on a regular basis at the different shelters, so Home Start and the Community House, the IFC runs, as well as some of the other transition homes or places where people in recovery are living, such as the Oxford Houses.
Folks, the future is secure with young people like Maggie West, who care so much about their community, and they have a willingness to get involved with other people's lives.
You know, I can't even remember now how I first heard of the Community Empowerment Fund, but then I got to talking with Maggie about that and was just really excited and impressed with the work they're doing there.
Since our initial conversation with Allison DeMarco, Maggie West has gone on to graduate from Carolina. Now she's the program coordinator for Community Empowerment Fund, upstairs above Julian's in downtown Chapel Hill. If you'd like to find out more, go to communityempowermentfund.org. And congratulations, Maggie West, a real success story. Today's WCHL Hometown Hero.
Performance Auto Mall is proud to put today's Village Pride Award honoree in our spotlight. And remember, at Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill, we carry Acura, BMW, Chevrolet, Porsche, and Subaru. But we also have access to nearly 4,000 pre-owned automobiles. At Performance Auto Mall, we can find your next automobile, no matter the brand. We promise.
This hour of the morning news with Ron Stutz is brought to you by Bredman's Restaurant. Open at 7 a.m. daily and serving breakfast all day. Bredman's on Rosemary Street, a Chapel Hill tradition since 1974.
WCHL's Chapel Hill cover of weather, 73 degrees. Partly sunny, 40% chance of rain today. Maybe a shower, maybe a thunderstorm. In fact, that 40% chance of rain will continue not just today, but tonight, tomorrow, and tomorrow night as well. Our high temperature today, about 90, low tonight, 68. High tomorrow, only about 80 degrees.
Uniquely qualified to cover Carolina, 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station.
It's 8 o'clock.
Chapel Hill Economic Development. Open for business, to business. Find out more on the web at opentobusiness.com.